Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. Sorry about the no music again, still can't find the stuff, but you're on the right channel. My special guest tonight is Lee Lawrence, and you guys are going to love this. And my friend and associate and assistant and cohort in adventures, Madeline, is here also. The three of us are going to do some healing for you guys later. But to start out with, I'm going to have Lee introduce himself and talk to you a little bit about who he is and what he does. He has an amazing technique that he does that I've never seen anybody else do something like this. I think you guys are going to really love this. So sit back, relax, and without further ado, welcome to the show, Lee.
Thank you. You'll have to forgive me. I'm new to this. This is my first time on the air ever. I've kind of kept a low profile for many years and didn't teach or explain any of the things that I've been doing for about 15 years now, primarily because it just kept coming through that it wasn't time yet. What happened many years ago, my background is as a CPA, as an accountant, very left brain, very logical, and my whole identity was based upon my logic. So when paranormal things started happening that weren't logical, it threw me a curve and really destroyed my identity based on my logic, and I had to go searching. And what I did was I started looking from a logical, scientific standpoint what was to understand what was happening to me from a paranormal standpoint. Probably the most profound thing that was happening to me was I would know the thoughts of people around me, but not just know their thoughts, but their life history. And as I would walk up to them, it was like I was crossing a timeline of their life from birth, actually from conception, all the way through current. And what I started to realize was that I was walking through their memory fields. And I've worked with this for about 15 years now, and you might call it the mechanics of the soul. The most models that are used for the human brain, from a scientific standpoint, they use the model of a computer, and they say the memories are stored somewhere in the brain, in the synapses, just as they might be on a hard drive of a computer. Well, that model doesn't fit. The memories are no more stored in the brain than the music on a radio is stored in that radio. The brain is actually merely a communication device, a radio transmitter and receiver that interacts with the soul fields, which are counter-rotating fields. These memories are stored as holograms in a very specific pattern around the body. Yes, the chakra system fits into this. The best description that I could give to give a visual analogy would be, imagine a CD where the hole in the middle of the CD is your physical body, and you have all the tracks on the CD around you. Well, this CD, if it were your energy field, would be about 30 feet in diameter or out of from you about 15 feet in all directions. Your childhood memories are stored on the outermost tracks. And there's a timeline, and as you cross this timeline coming toward you, you are chronologically coming to current time to the point where when I'm maybe 24 inches away from a person, those are their memories about 3 years ago. What I found out is when I first learned to do this, it was very painful both emotionally and physically, because as I would touch these memories, I would retrieve them as though they were my own experiences. I would feel the person's pain and their suffering, as well as the joy, but usually they were not happy memories that I was picking up on. And what I started to realize was that as I touched these memories, that they would bridge back into a person, and that they were anchored in their physical body where their memories or where their illnesses would manifest. So I worked with them a little bit more and found out that I could have a person stand 15 feet away from me, close their eyes, I would not touch them in any way. I wouldn't say anything. Hopefully no taste or smell. Therefore, I bypassed all their critical thinking skills. And thus, the response was totally a subconscious response. When I would touch their memories, their physical body would move just as though I had a hold of them, shoving them or pulling them.
Yeah, and that's a weird experience. I got to tell you, that's very strange.
Now remember, I'm not touching them. Their eyes are closed. So the response is totally a subconscious backfeed from the soul into the physical body. And basically what I do is I read the person's soul memories from conception through whatever's going on now. Primary purpose of it is to help a person look at their patterns in their life and to understand the roadmap of their life and why they're at where they're at now. There's a lot of, you know, this is a whole new way of looking at a human being, because you're not looking at the physical body, you're looking at the soul. And everything physical in the body is a manifestation of the soul. And that's why you're looking at personality attributes. You're looking at physical attributes, why they manifest the way they do. There's just so much. What this does, the technique that I do, does to the soul what x-rays do to bones.
I would say that's a pretty accurate description. Listeners, Lee has practiced this on me a couple times now, and it's been really interesting not only to feel as the memories were accessed, but to actually have the physical feeling of being pulled forward or backward, and then having it cleared. And he's able just to go to that memory and basically pick it out and get rid of it. Now, you don't lose the memory. But what you do instead is you lose the physical pain if it's possible to clear it right then. And now, what was the caveat on that? I remember you told me there was one time when you can't clear it, when it's like part of the soul's makeup or something.
Well, if when your soul manifested into this physical body, it chose whatever physical vehicle you're in for a reason. For the soul to go through a growing learning experience to be a better soul. And it is not for me to take away someone's soul experience that they're living their life for. However, if I can help them through it and they can grow, then they can release it. And what it does is it allows you to take a look at your roadmap of your life so that you can see why. I deal a lot with rape victims, people who have gone through severe trauma. Memories are stored as holograms. There was a Dr. Carl Prebram, Stanford University, wrote a paper in 1995 where he theorized the holographic storage of memories. Well, that's exactly what I have found. And these memories are holograms that are stored at the intersection of these two counter-rotating fields, one tied to each hemisphere of the brain, one being the masculine aspect, which is the left spinning field, one being the feminine, which is the right spinning field. These fields, the right spinning field, for whatever reason, I can't explain it, but it's affected by gravity. It's the spin frequency of the right spinning field is affected by a full moon, which also affects the high tides, the gravity of the moon. I don't know why, but it is the reason why this right spinning field, which is the emotional aspect of a person's persona, is affected by a full moon. The left spinning field, which is the masculine aspect, is affected by sunlight. It's the reason why people who live further from the equator get seasonal affective disorder or cabin fever, of which the cure is light therapy. It's one of the things that's an attribute of that is you can't think clearly when you have cabin fever. The spin frequency of these fields is also the frequency that your consciousness operates at, which allows your ease or dis-ease in retrieving your memories. When you're in dis-ease, think of your memory field as going very slow and wobbling, and you're more like one of those old 133 megahertz computers where you would enter the stuff in and have to wait for a while for a response. Where when you're at peak performance, you're more like a 4 gig response where you think of something and boom, it's immediately retrieved and right there in the tip of your mind.
Boy, that'd be nice.
So that what happens is in these, what I call soul fields, we have, you know, the masculine and feminine aspects, which are the two counter-rotating fields. The most important thing, and this is the most important thing in any spiritual practice. You know, there's a saying when you're doing, when you're meditating, I think it was an Irma Bombeck, don't meditate over the septic tank.
Yeah.
you know, the same thing is true if you're doing yoga. You don't want to do yoga when you're angry, because yoga is a soul cleansing technique. The most important thing in any spiritual practice is to feel love. From a Christian standpoint, when the Pharisees asked Jesus what was the most important commandment, they thought he was going to tell them one of the ten, and he said, no, love God and love thy neighbor. Love is the most important commandment. Why? Because love is the energy that stabilizes these two fields. If you judge yourself, you create a space where love cannot exist. When love cannot exist in that space, it destabilizes your two fields where they operate independently. This is what causes subpersonalities. It causes a lot of other psychological disabilities. Now, back to what I was saying earlier, the feminine aspect is tied to gravity, the Mother Earth, the masculine to the sun, father, son. You know, I guess the ancients used those terms for a specific reason.
Yes, they did, and also the ancients knew that masculine and feminine was connected that way, and this is a common spiritual teaching, so that's very interesting to find that the spin has something to do with that.
What happens is your fields, when they slow up too much, number one, if they slow up totally, you're dead, because it's just like a...
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it ruins your day. Because what happens is it's very similar to imagine a top that's spinning, and it starts to wobble, and it starts to wobble before it falls over and stops. These, our goal in life is to raise our consciousness to the highest frequency level possible. Divine love, going back to love God, divine love is the highest vibrational frequency that you can experience. I do workshops sometimes, so I'll go into, and it doesn't matter the religion, but I'll go in churches, and I do a little demonstration where I'll point my finger at someone, and I'll say, how does that make you feel? Well, how does it make you feel if I point my finger in your face?
It makes me feel like I want to bite your finger off.
And then what I do is, I'll say to that person, now close your eyes, and I want you to say a prayerful thought, a loving thought, and just think it in your mind, and when that person's opened their eyes, I point my finger at them again, the same way I did before, or even closer and even more threatening, and I ask them, how do you feel now? And most of the time, they will say, that's odd, it doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the reason it doesn't bother you is because, like a radio transmitter and a receiver, by focusing on love, what you're doing is you're tuning your consciousness to a higher frequency. Remember, fear and anger and love cannot exist in the same space. So that if you're focused on love, you cannot experience fear. So that when you're doing the prayerful thought, it actually changes your whole perception of everything around you as you raise your frequency. Some people will say, but I was expecting it the second time, and that's why it didn't affect me.
Hmm.
To which I say to them, okay, Let's take the experiment a little bit further. Close your eyes, and this time I want you to think of something that is very emotionally traumatic to you, something that's very disturbing. And I'm telling you now that when you open your eyes, you can expect me to do it again. Well, when they open their eyes this time and I point my finger at them, it's even worse and more threatening than what it was the first time. My point is that that person, through that negative emotional thought, has just brought the frequency of their consciousness down so that now they are much more dependent on their surroundings and attached to them than what they were before. And just thus, they will experience an amplified fear from my pointing finger at them. And the only reason I do that demonstration is to teach people that they can control the vibrational frequencies of their consciousness.
That is a really, really good point. And listeners, you know, I'm always talking about the vibes, you know, and how we need to increase the vibes and increase our consciousness. And this is such a simple demonstration, and we're gonna see how this works, you know, over the air here. And, you know, see how many of you guys can feel this. And you are welcome to call in and have us three work on you. And Lee will be talking to you, and Madeline and I will be helping to stabilize and channel the energy. And we'll see what happens. But I think you're going to notice something very, very interesting. And that's that this is very quick, very gentle, and I think it's very complete in that it gets in there and starts working on the mental-emotional levels right away and in those things that happen that you don't even remember. And, you know, that's you can only work on the things you remember, right? So this way, this is something completely different.
Well, that's thank you for pointing that out. You can work on things that you don't remember. One of the big problems in current therapies, well, two big problems. One, again, this is my own opinion. This is not necessarily the opinion of the profession. Cognitive therapy or thinking therapy does not work on emotional issues. It has to do with the way the memories are stored and the way they are accessed. About the best that cognitive therapy can do is intellectualize an emotional issue and build a wall around it so that you don't deal with it. You know, it's kind of like, don't fix the pothole, drive around it every time.
Yeah.
Well, the pothole's still there, and sooner or later you're going to hit it, and that's kind of the way emotional memories are in our life. Why? Because the number one law of attraction in relationships in our life is that we are attracted toward individuals whose personality is similar to someone with whom we have unresolved conflict. The way I do the testing is I've learned to project personality types. And as I project a personality type, as I'm approaching a person, I'll tell them, for example, very simply, I can tell if the parents fought at the time the child was born. One of the most profound experiences, I was doing a demonstration for a fairly large group, and a woman came up to me and said, my son would like you to work with him after this is over. So after everyone left, he stood about 15 feet away from me. I made a gesture, wham, fell right over on his face forward. I had him stand up. I made another gesture, wham, fell right over. I turned to his mother and I said, I've done this testing 1,000 times. I have never met anyone with abandonment issues of both mother and father at birth like he has. Now, I had never met him before. I knew nothing about him, didn't even know his name. His mother turned to me and said, we adopted him when he was 2 days old.
Man.
These memories are stored at the soul level. The problem is, all childhood memories are stored emotionally. They're not stored logically. To give you an idea of the different memory retrieval techniques and the way the human mind works, and this has a lot to do with learning theories and developmental theories, the left brain retrieves a memory very similar to, if I were to say to you, when you were a senior in high school in science class, the logical person will go to that classroom and then they will expand the memory, see who's next to them, see who the teacher is, see the room. It's very similar to pulling out a file drawer, going to the file folder, opening it up, and then you expand the memory. The reason is the left brain knows the location of that memory and it goes to it. Again, remember, these memories are stored in very specific locations in these fields around us. The left brain goes to that location in the field. The right brain, or the emotional aspect of the soul, doesn't have that ability. The right brain, or the artistic, creative, feminine aspect, works very similar to a Google search engine. But instead of putting a string of characters in the search field, it puts a frequency of the emotion that the original memory was stored at. So that what happens is, just as a Google search engine scans for words on the internet, your right brain scans your entire memory field for memories that were stored with a similar emotional frequency.
We have a caller. Hello, who do we have on the line?
Hi, good evening. My name's Jim. I'm calling from Florida.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for calling in. Let me let Lee finish his comment here, and then we'll work on you, okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay.
What I found out is that anxiety attacks, panic attacks, a lot of stress is caused by memories that are being stimulated to be retrieved, but yet our conscious mind is saying we are not going to allow that in. Childhood amnesia, as it relates to traumatic memories, especially amplifies this problem. Now, we don't remember our childhood issues. The reason is because the mind, in order to protect us from experiencing that trauma, totally blocks the retrieval of any memories at that frequency. Well, guess what? If we have several of these traumatic experiences, and the real key is it's the perception of the experience, not necessarily the reality of it as we see it today. To a first grader, a teacher yelling at them, that teacher's God, and it's the end of the world. If we look back on that experience today, we can say, oh, my first grade teacher was a jerk. But that emotional trauma is stored based on the perception of that first grader. You can't cognitively discount that emotion today and remove it.
True.
So what the power of love is that love can be used like a laser to surgically transmute the negative emotion that is attached to these memories. And what that does is it immediately releases all of the emotional burden with phobias, with, let's say, a rape situation. Now, you might say, are you blocking that memory out? No. The logical memory comes in clearer than ever. There's just no emotion attached to it anymore.
Exactly, and that's really valuable. Let's see what we can do to help Jim with here. You ready, Jim?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so now we're not quite sure how to do this, you know, over the phone, so we're going to have a little experiment here. So we're going to let Lee go ahead and ask you what he needs to ask and tune in, and we're going to offer support energy here.
Well, I'm just going to ask, what's your question?
My question? Just wondering, I feel I have some blockages, and a lot of it is keeping me, holding me back. It seems to all be revolving around money. I don't know if it's something happened in my childhood or if my parents, you know, what they were always, how they dealt with money, now it's affecting me. But just overall in general, there's things holding me back. And I'm going through a difficult time personally, and I just want to maybe clear and release some things and maybe get my life back on track. So I'm just wondering what actually is holding me back at this time.
Well, let's do a step by step, and let me help you do the work yourself, because that's always much better than me doing it for you. The normal process when we get the discomfort of, let's say, a money issue, or when we get something that is uncomfortable, is that we do battle with it, that we don't like that emotion, and we do everything we can to either run from it or we avoid it. Well, in doing so, guess what? You are not going to resolve, you are empowering that issue. So the first thing that I would say to you, Jim, is that you should lock on to the emotional feeling and the discomfort, and specifically the feeling of failure that's associated with not having or achieving those things that you're looking at. And once you lock onto that emotion, the key is, remember what I said about an emotional memory and retrieving an emotional memory. These memories that I'm talking about are the same things that when you look into a person's eyes and you see walls, they are the eyes truly are the window to the soul. And when you look into a person's eyes, you're seeing the same walls that I am touching in the memory field as I'm doing the testing. So, Jim, my comment to you is embrace the emotion that's attached to the monetary issues, which are security issues. Have you done that?
No, probably not well enough, if at all.
Go to the last time that it was a major issue for you, when it was very uncomfortable and you were in a negative emotional state because of not having those resources. Now, think of that situation and allow the emotion that's attached to it, allow yourself to feel it.
Okay.
Now, what happens is, as you're doing that, Jim, you noticing in your lower back? You noticing some tension?
Right now?
Yeah.
Not really, but it could be there, and I'm just used to it.
Okay. Now, two things that I have to address. Remember what I said earlier about how the left brain works versus the right brain. And we as men tend to use the left brain much more. What we do a lot of times, because our memories are anchored into our body, when we use the left brain or the masculine brain, a lot of times we tend to not be able to access the feeling that's attached to it. And the same thing is true when I'm doing the testing. It is much harder for me to test men than it is for women, because women tend to be more attached. This is not to stereotype, but they tend to be more attached to their emotional aspect. So in order to bridge those, what I'm connecting with on you is that those issues are relatively low where they're anchored into your body. Now, the next thing that helps to do that, now, if you were right here and I were doing the testing, what happens is when I touch that specific memory that's around you, it amplifies the emotion and it reverse bridges it into your mind. In conventional therapy, there's too much transference on people and creation of false memory. False memory where therapists project onto the client their own problems, or they project what they think the problem is, and therefore the person fabricates in their mind a memory. It is so prevalent and so common that it's unbelievable. By touching your memory and allowing your memory to reverse bridge into your mind while I'm actually doing the work, it is your own memory. It's not me planning any false memories. So that's why I like to do it in that manner. As the memory bridges back in, a lot of times people will just lose it emotionally right on the spot. A lot of times they'll remember things that happened in their early childhood that they hadn't remembered for 50 years. because the emotion is there, and it was blocked. Now, in your situation, Jim, what I advise you to do, and you don't have to answer me on the air, because a lot of times these things do bring out very private personal issues. But in your life, there are periods of peak discomfort, possibly relationship breakups, possibly divorces. Use the memories at the peak discomfort periods as the bridging points to be able to go back and access other emotional memories. As uncomfortable as they are, those are the windows of opportunity. And while I would never recommend anyone to not take medications, medications save lives. But one thing happens with medications. Remember the example that I said about the finger pointing earlier? People on medications, it blocks their ability to change the frequency of their consciousness and retrieve memories or to tune to the higher levels. What it does is it's like locking a radio station onto one station and taking the knob off. And what it does is it makes it virtually impossible for that person to connect to those memories because, well, they don't bother them anymore because they can no longer address them. And again, don't say anything in that respect. And again, I am not recommending that anyone should ever stop taking medication.
But I have to tell you, I have to put an aside in here, as a physician and as an energy worker, I can tell you that everything that Lee has just said is true. And in order for me to be able to help someone with their issues, I have to get them off of those drugs because they cause a disconnect between you and your higher consciousness. And so, you know, there are a few cases where those things are needed, but while you're going through through medication, you really can't work on the issues at all. And they first noticed this with Valium. So you're talking like, you know, 50 years ago, they knew this. And the new drugs that they give people, like they're handing out candy, are even worse. So if you're dealing with something like that, then, you know, that's the first step if you don't really need them. But you got to have some support network to deal with, too. You do have to be able to access these memories and work through them, but talk therapy does not work. Okay, that's my aside.
I don't know that I answered your question, Jim. I've given you some various points. The one thing that I can do, though, is I can tell you that this issue will continue to pop itself up in your life. Life tends to throw us the balls that are our lessons, and they always, we manifest our own experiences so that we can grow. What needs to happen, and when you referred to the block, you really were very accurate. Anytime that a behavior pattern is repeated throughout life, anytime you're attracted into a situation, the thing that has to be done is you have to access the very first programming event. It was the very first event, which many times happened in early childhood when we couldn't remember it, that programmed the unhealthy belief patterns that tells us the rest of our life how we are going to deal with the situation. If we can go back and reprogram the belief patterns associated with that original programming event, it's almost like multiplying by zero. All of those other events in our lives that were reinforcements of that negative emotion have nothing to reinforce because we've removed the original emotion, and therefore all of the behavior pattern is gone. Where I have found this to be particularly true is in people who are attracted into one abusive relationship after another. Again, there's a reason why they're attracted to those relationships. It's problem resolution. If they can go to the original programming event and change the outcome of it, especially the emotional attachment, and release it, all of a sudden, they have no need nor any attraction to be in those types of relationships. But it really does take a digging in order to do that.
Yeah, and it may be it may also be things that happened in a past life. You know, people, for example, who may be overweight, it can't seem to, everything they do just doesn't work, and they just eat and eat and eat, and they don't know why they do that. But then if they had a past life regression or went back and realized, maybe I've heard of people that starved to death in a past life, and they in this life they're afraid it's going to happen again, so they don't know why they're overeating, because they didn't clear up the past. So it may be not only this life, but in a past life we can bring in these issues too. So, you know, it's a big thing to work on, but it's definitely worth working on. I mean, the benefits of clearing these things up are really worth doing.
Absolutely. Do you feel any difference since we started working on you?
Yeah, I think your advice, you know, hits on the right points. You know, if it's you have to like, it's kind of like that Batman movie, the Batman Begins. So like, he had to go back and face his fear, and then once he did that, he realized, you know, you fear in life what you don't know, and if you think of something. Like, if you think of poverty, you're just going to attract more of it.
Sure.
So you have to go back and deal with these issues, but it's tough. I mean, it's a big thing to do, because we, over the years, we just, you know, literally just bury it and bury it and bury it. And so it's, you know, and I'm on no medication. I haven't taken an aspirin in years, so I don't have that problem to deal with. I feel I can deal with it in a direct, natural way, but it's definitely worth to get professional help in dealing with this, because the benefits will just really set you free, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Your comment about past life, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I tend to not work with past life too much. If it pops up, absolutely. The reason being is that in your current life, you are going to manifest the experiences that relate to your unresolved issues from the past. And if they were your issues in the past life, then there was a reason for the soul to have those past issues. And the way our Akashic Record stores our issues, again, any unresolved issue from past life is going to manifest in the current life. So it's much easier to deal with it in the conscious awareness of the current life than what it is to try and go back to a previous one. But your point is absolutely true. I just tend to like to work with the current manifestation of the past life issues.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question. Did you have a lot of grief associated with this, with any kind of monetary situation in your life?
Grief? No, not really. I've always, you know, I've always been comfortable and hasn't, you know, I've always, you know, I've never come to a point where I, you know, it got really, really bad, but it's just, you know, it's kind of like you see things are going to happen, and then, you know, you don't react on it. You kind of like, I don't know, it's just like, you know, I knew the dollar was going to go down last year, the United States dollar, and then I don't take a position on it, and, you know, it gets frustrating. It was never, you know, it was just, you know, frustrating not to clear these things up and move on with my life, you know.
So, the reason I'm saying grief is because I feel like, I think what you're expressing, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like what you're expressing is you thought you would be someplace else when you got to be this age. Like, you know, what happened, you know, to the plan, and, you know, why are you in this situation now where you thought you would be much more comfortable and much more secure? Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I thought I be a little bit better off by now. Now I'm kind of like looking around and like, you know, I'm kind of a little disappointed and frustrated with myself. And
you're not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone, buddy. Let me tell you, especially in the light worker realm.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat, you know.
But I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, so it hasn't fallen on deaf ears. But, you know, I think maybe I can learn from these past experiences. It's all, I think it can all be turned into a positive thing in the future because I've learned so much, and I wouldn't trade that for anything.
One of the things that you have to realize is, as our life issues, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, there was an industrial psychologist, Abraham Maslow, and he had his hierarchy of needs, which was always presented as a pyramid. And on that base layer were what he called the base needs of workers, which were food, shelter, safety, security. In other words, these are the things that children look for in their parents. These are also our base foundation issues. And, of course, then as you climbed up the ladder, you had self-actualization. And later on in his end years, he actually added another level to the pyramid, which was self-transcendence, which doesn't show up in a lot of the textbooks. But my point is that a lot of these issues are like rungs on a ladder. One of the there was a group that I belonged to, the Kundalini Research Network, and they did a very large survey on people that were going through spiritual awakenings. The number one symptom of people who are going through a spiritual awakening was bipolar or manic depression. The reason for that is, as we are striving to grow and we reach up to these higher levels and we touch them and we experience them, but at the same time, we've got an unresolved issue that's down low on a low frequency. Well, imagine those issues and our spiritual journey is like climbing a ladder. Well, our unresolved security issues are like having our foot tied to the bottom rung. No matter how high we climb, we have to go back down to try and untie that issue. So that our unresolved issues, it's the perception of your wealth and your belongings and your security. It's based on your perception of what you need, not necessarily the reality of what you need. And that's what makes it the issue. For example, a lot of people who are comfortable with death and are comfortable in their old age knowing that the inevitable is going to happen, they are able to let go of a lot of security issues because, you know, last time I looked, the mortality rate was still 100%. It's going to happen no matter what. And these are all things that goes back to what I was talking about with the finger pointing. When we focus on fear and insecurity and security issues are fear issues, we are going to manifest more of those. Ironically, it's almost like people who are growing spiritually, focusing on the gifts of the spirit, the psychic abilities, the healing abilities, to focus on obtaining those things as possessions are actually detriments to the spiritual path. Because what might be ahead of us right now might be behind us and be an anchor to us and stop us from going to a higher level spiritually. Because in order to our security issues on a spiritual path are much like Midas's bags of gold if he's trying to tread water. We've got to let go in order to go higher.
Well, thank you very much. I'll give someone else a chance. You've made a lot of sense, and you've given me some things to think about, and I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for calling in, Jim. Good luck. Okay, boy, that's like we got a psychiatrist in a radio here. So
I am not a psychiatrist.
I know that, but you work better than they do. So
what I do is I perceive people's energy fields, and I see them not as the physical being. I see them as the whole soul unit. You know, when you look at any person and you can actually see the good in them, when you look into a child's eyes and you see that wonderful child at the middle of them, that wonderful child is at the outer layer of every single soul. It's all that garbage that we accumulate during our life that creates these anchors that when we look into the eyes and the eyes change and we see walls in there, you know, in order to, how should I say, commune with the divine, you must be like a child. And in order to do that, you've got to get rid of your adult garbage.
Here we have another caller. Who do we have on the line?
This is Jean.
And where are you from, Jean?
California.
California, great. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
It really hit home what you said about your partner lighting up, you know, your issue that you're working on.
Uh-huh.
And I experienced a lot of judgment in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I react to that pretty readily, where I don't in other relationships. But I'd like to work on where judgment in my space interferes with my own spontaneity and joy, basically.
One of the things that happens in attraction, when we are attracted into a relationship for a soul-cleansing purpose, number one, the attraction is very strong. And we are attracted to them, and they are attracted to us for a complementary soul-cleansing issue. And these two people come at each other, and all of a sudden, when they hit the point where you would ordinarily start to achieve intimacy, where you would start to achieve that joy in the relationship, all of a sudden you hate that person and you have no idea why. And the same thing is true for them, with you. The reason is because once you get to the point where you start to achieve intimacy, all of a sudden you now feel comfortable enough to bring your unresolved issue to the surface and try to manifest it with that person. So that what's happening is your discomfort with them, how should I say, I guess they say you're not angry for the reason you think you are.
Right.
So that the real key, there was a psychiatrist from California at a conference that I was at, and he made a statement that marriage is that dance where we dance around each other until we find a comfortable distance where we can be with but yet tolerate that other person. I don't like that definition, even though that's the reality of it. And the reason being is, you know, if we're going to grow, we have to strive to make our relationships the best we possibly can. In order to do that, here are the keys in those types of relationships. Number one, safety first. If there is any physical danger in a relationship, then the distance is necessary, first and foremost. But just because you're feeling discomfort in a relationship doesn't mean you should run from that relationship. What it means is that you back up far enough that you can look at it objectively, but try to work through your issues, because if you run from them, you're only going to repeat it with someone else. And if we don't resolve these issues in our relationships with teenagers, then we have children, and what we end up doing is lengthening the cycle of about 7 to 8 years. So my point is, and this is where counseling comes in, to get a good counselor who can help you. Primary thing that a counselor should help you with, problem resolution skills. You need problem resolution skills so that you can deal with the current discomfort without running from it.
Okay.
So in the relationship, again, the period of peak discomfort is the period of greatest opportunity for individual growth. Although I don't use hypnosis very often, sometimes people have blocks that it's a necessary tool. And one of the things that I do is I will take a person emotionally to one of the really intense disagreements in their relationship. And once they lock onto that emotion, I'll have them do a regression to earlier in their childhood when they experienced that same exact issue. Again, the key is to address the original issue, not necessarily try to resolve it with the person that you're with, because that's not where it originated. Did you have a second part to your question?
No, not really. No.
Well, that's good, because we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. I hope that's helped you.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to Lee Lawrence, and if you could see what this guy does, you would be truly amazed. It really is quite the experience, and hopefully he'll be teaching some workshops on how to do that pretty soon. Lee, did you want to give out any of your contact information in case somebody would like to drop you a line or give you a call?
For right now, if they just want to send the contact information to you and you can forward it, that would be fine.
Okie doke. Well, they know my website and my phone numbers and things. They're on my BBS radio page. So, listeners, if you have any questions, go ahead and drop me a line at info@drvalerienmd.com, and I will be happy to forward it to Lee. And, you know, if you want to get on his list for whenever he's teaching these workshops, learn how to do this stuff, then please do drop me a line and I'll forward it to him. And thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you've enjoyed this. And I have not been able to keep up with Fast Chat just because the computer would not let me on the Internet, so I kept getting kicked off, so sorry about that. I know Dominic was on. And thanks for listening, as usual. Anyway, we will be back next week. So until then, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.